This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV. I'll be with you here until 2 o'clock this afternoon, and we will be talking sports with you. We welcome your phone calls today at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR. Or if you're outside the 517 area code, you can reach us toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. We do have a rather busy show planned for you today coming up over the next hour. Again, we'll take you right up until 2 o'clock. Coming up on today's shows, a couple of scheduled guests, Michigan State men's golf coach Casey Lubon, and also Ryan Slocum. And Ryan is a weekend sports anchor, the weekend sports anchor, at ABC 12 up in Flint. And Ryan was with Draymond Green last night, along with many family members and friends, and also other members of the media, as he waited last night to hear his name called in the NBA draft. And I think we all know that Draymond was hoping to be a first-round pick, but unfortunately he fell out of that and ended up getting taken early in the second round, the 35th overall pick. And he will go now and play with the Golden State Warriors. And, looking at the Golden State Warriors roster as I went over it last night during the draft and again for some time today, it looks like a situation that's a pretty good one for a young player coming into a team that I believe only won 23 games last year and really struggled. Now, they do play in a difficult division when you talk about playing with the likes of the Lakers and the Clippers. You've got the Phoenix Suns in there as well, and it's a difficult division to have to play in. But we'll talk a little bit more with Ryan about Draymond Green here coming up a little bit later in today's show. But we want to begin our show with the men's golf coach at Michigan State. And welcome Casey Lubon to the to Sports Talk here on AM 870. Good afternoon, Casey. How are you?
Good, Jeremy. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I know it's been a very busy week for you. For those people that don't know, Casey and his wife, Rachel, earlier this week welcomed their second child to the world. Jolene was born on, Wednesday, right?
Tuesday. Yeah, so exciting times. Now I have a whole foursome.
I was going to say, you got the foursome set, but you're outnumbered at home now because it's three on one with the ladies against dad. You are going to be in big trouble.
We all hope that they play golf like their mother. So it's an exciting time now, with the summer and all the great things happening around here. And then throw a child in the mix. It's been awesome.
Have you been able to kind of take it in? I know going through my experiences, when you have the second, it's kind of a whirlwind, even more so than the first.
Yeah, it's certainly, I'm wondering how we're going to get it all done. But, that's part of it. And luckily I married, I'll kick my coverage with her. And so it's going to be fun for the team. They love hanging out with the kids and everything. So we're excited.
Well, that's great. What's a summertime like for a golf coach? I mean, are you doing a lot of recruiting in the summer? Obviously the guys aren't in season. So what's the summer like for you?
Yeah, it's a good question. The guys are out on their own. Obviously we can't have any contact with them during this period. They're out playing tournaments, playing very well all across America. And our staff is focused on recruiting and fundraising and being out in the community. We're pretty much traveling, 3 to 5 days a week, watching junior players all across the Midwest, all across America, and also getting some time with all the wonderful supporters around town and raising money for a lot of good causes. So it's probably one of those times of year you think is going to be nice and calm, ends up being the busiest time because there's so much stuff that you want to be a part of, whether it's, you know, the Steve Smith outings early in the week or other events like that. There's always something to do, so it kind of makes it fun.
When you look at junior golf in the Midwest, how does it compare to, I don't know, maybe out west or down south in Florida, obviously, where those kids get to play year-round outside, and kids in this part of the country are a little bit at a disadvantage?
You know, I said it's changing so much as we talked in the last 10 years here. We were talking about this the other day. The southern schools have started to recruit up here a whole lot more. And part of that comes from the success the Big Ten and Kent State and teams up here have had the last 6 to 8 years, you know, and been nationally competitive. The Southern schools said, hey, you know, obviously there's some players up there that can play. So they're recruiting a lot more up here. But the one thing I love is that these kids, especially the Michigan group, but all the Midwestern states, they're just as good as, I think, just as good and strong as recruiting base up here, but they're staying home more. So back in, you know, the 90s when you had a good junior player out of the northern part of the country, it's kind of the general talk, hey, they're always going to go south. We'll go south and play college golf. Today, they're staying home. They're going to Michigan State. They're going to Ohio State. They're going to University of Illinois, which is why you see our programs in the Big Ten getting so much stronger in golf.
Does that, you know, it doesn't translate in baseball. It, you know, it seems like there's always this knock on college baseball because of, you know, northern schools, and they don't maybe get to work out all year round. But why is it that that you're, if you're in a northern climate, that you're still able to be as successful in golf than maybe you would be in baseball?
Well, I think part of it goes back to, you know, the facilities that were built. But, you know, I think facilities get overrated in that. Yeah, you know, there's been some wonderful players who have come out of the Midwest and not had any facilities in the winter. I think it goes back to being more comfortable in your surroundings. You know, playing on the kind of type of golf courses that you play your whole life. You know, if you were a northern kid and you take a college golf scholarship in the South, well, now you're going to play in Bermuda and Zoysia and Poana, different types of grasses that you're not real familiar with. So there's a real learning curve. I think the kids up here and like the Matt Harmons, the Ryan Brems, they've always been in their comfort zone. They've always been close to home with family. Their lives haven't been disrupted, and they've gone someplace where they really cared about the institution, which pushed them even harder in their preparation. So, yeah, there's a lot of answers there. Our facilities are certainly a part of it, but I think it's more about being comfortable. Because in this game, you know, we always say you play golf like you live your life. If you're comfortable off the golf course, you're going to be comfortable on it, and you're going to be able to grow as a player.
Michigan State men's golf coach Casey Lubon joining us for a couple of minutes here on Sports Talk on AM 870 WKAR. Casey, I guess I should have started by saying, you know, happy anniversary. We're, I guess, a day short of the day that you were hired last year. You just completed your first year. If looking back now, how did the first year go, and what are you kind of looking for from the future of the program?
Well, it's been a pretty cool 364 days, I'll tell you that. I thought it was a productive year overall. I thought the guys really took to what you know, our staff put in front of them. They worked hard, and the progress, it was kind of an interesting timeline of how things progressed. Generally, you know, we see struggle early as they're adapting to new things, and they gradually get stronger and stronger. We kind of took a different course. We had a lot of strength right out of the gate, which I don't know if I expected as much or if the players expected as much, but, you know, starting out in the fall last year, we go second, first, you know, fourth, fifth, in pretty good fields right out of the gate. And then there was this little bit of a lag starting in the spring, you know, where they had to refocus, regroup, and they had to learn some hard lessons. So it's kind of a, we started high, had a low in the middle, and then finished real high at Big Ten's. And the excitement around the building, around the program, around the community after Big Ten's and what our guys who are coming back were able to do in that championship has really propelled us there a good summer. Finishing fourth and having a real chance to win with nine holes to go. All that stuff these guys can take back and say, we're back into it, we're back in the game. We're competitive with a lot of the programs we want to be competitive with, and we're on the rise. So it was a good year. You know, as a coach, I think you always look back and say, well, could we have done better? But I want to make sure as we're looking forward to next year that we're also patting ourselves on the back a little bit and saying, hey, we made some great strides.
And you will have a bit of a change this year. Ryan Brehm left his post as an assistant coach, and you brought in Gary Winger from Bowling Green. If you can, talk a little bit about what precipitated that change. I know Ryan is looking to get out and have a chance to play a little bit more.
Yeah, you know, having worked with Ryan and been close to him for a lot of years, it was important that when I took over last July or June, I guess it was, that he kind of helped me during that transition. But Ryan is one of the most talented players to ever come out of the state, if not the most talented. He's on the short list. And his lifelong dream is not, you know, not to be a golf coach. His lifelong dream is to play the PGA Tour. So, you know, I pretty much dealt with him in the same way that I deal with our players. Like, hey, do the best you can, you know, in your coaching because you're great at it. But ideally, let's start making a five-year plan. Where do you want to be 5 years from now? And when we came down to that plan, he said, hey, coach, I want to play the PGA Tour. So, you know, it was kind of an interesting thing. He was so good with our guys, but also our guys knew, hey, this is where Ryan's, you know, dream is for the tour. So he resigned in May, and we opened up a search, and I will say that we were humbled by the candidates that were interested in our job and interested in working with our program. And for a 15-year head coach at his alma mater here from the Midwest to step forward and want to be a part of Spartan Golf, it was a no-brainer for us, a really, really good hire for us.
What does a assistant golf coach do a majority of the time? I know you're involved in helping kind of run the day-to-day operations of the program. How much are they involved in, you know, helping the guys with their swings, if you will, or how much do you have to lean on that assistant coach just for help?
You know, I think they play a lot of roles. Primarily the recruiters. You know, Coach Winger is going to be a phenomenal recruiter with ties to areas that we're real strong in, but recruiting and fundraising are really two areas where my assistant's going to be very active. I love the operations side of the program as far as planning our guys' lives day to day, doing some of the things that would be a little more menial. I like that still. I still think that's important. I think that's the little details that gives us competitive advantage. So I'm going to keep doing a little bit more of that, but, you know, there's really two types of assistants. There's assistants who spend their time recruiting and playing golf with the guys, and there's assistants who do office. I think Gary's going to be doing more recruiting. He's been playing a lot. He's going to be helping us raise money. He's a great relationship builder, a lot of things. So it varies, but, you know, what I feel like is we got two head coaches, you know, with 15 years of his experience and all the great success he's had. We're going to have two head coaches who are on the same page.
Well, Casey, I appreciate a couple minutes. I know it's been a very busy week with Jolene's birth. Our best to you and Rachel, and hopefully we can catch up soon.
Sounds great. Hey, thanks, Jeremy.
All right, we'll talk to you later. That's
take care.
You too. Casey Luban, the head men's golf coach at Michigan State University, and he's had a very, very busy week, let me tell you. But the golf program, as he mentioned, finished fourth this past year at the Big Ten tournament. They had a chance with nine holes left to win the whole thing. Didn't finish as strongly as they would have liked to, but still a great showing, and that's one of the many programs here at Michigan State that is on the rise. All right, we invite you to stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break right here on AM 870.
He never spoke, but he touched the lives of many. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look back at the life of Galapagos icon Lonesome George. Plus, astronauts on the space station review their six-month tour and the historic life and tragic death of Alan Turing. It's all on Science Friday from NPR.
All right, that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 p.m. right here on AM 870.
Good afternoon. I'm Scott Pohl with the weather. Our high today in the low 90s with mostly sunny skies. Tonight, a low of 65 and partly cloudy. Mostly sunny for Saturday with a slight chance of rain and thunderstorms. The high tomorrow, 90. Sunday's high, 88. Partly sunny with a chance of rain and thunderstorms.
And welcome back to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX TV, filling in today for Earl Robinson. We will be open line this segment if you'd like to jump in and talk to us about anything that's going on in your sports world at 355-9527. That's 355-WKAR, or you can reach us toll free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. I also want to say good afternoon to Aaron, who's on the other side of the glass producing today's show. Didn't get a chance to do that in segment number one, but good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you.
And I know it's been a week. Did Earl survive this this past week since I've been in here? He did all right?
Yeah, he did fine. He managed the heat. You know, they got air conditioning in here, so he managed.
And he's out for another long weekend. Lucky him.
Yeah, lucky him.
Does he know how to work the system or what? But Aaron will take your phone calls again at 355-9527, 355-WKAR, or 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870 to get involved in today's program. And if you want to do so, now is the time to do it, because we do have a special guest coming up at 1:40 as well. So this is your chance to kind of jump in and talk to us about what's going on. Again, we'll talk with Ryan Slocum coming up at 1:40, the weekend sports anchor at ABC 12 up in Flint, and he was with Draymond Green last night during his draft watch party, and will kind of fill us in on what the mood was like, what the scene was like, as Draymond fell from the first round, where I know he was hoping to go, and into the second round last night before he was finally taken with the 35th overall selection by the Golden State Warriors. Now, the issue and the big difference between that first and second round, of course, is if you're taken in the first round, that's guaranteed money, and you're all set and ready to go. In the second round, nothing is guaranteed, so he's going to have to go, Draymond is, and work out for the Warriors during and play in their summer league team and attempt to make that roster. But when you look at that roster, it's certainly not a daunting task, I don't think, to make that roster. So we'll see what the summer brings for Draymond as he goes on now to write the next chapter in his basketball career. Let's go out to line number two and welcome in Dan, who is in Lansing. Hi, Dan. How are you?
Good, Jeremy. How are you?
Doing well. What's going on?
Well, actually, I'm the one that was tweeting back and forth about Daniel Clark from Roman Christi.
Yeah.
Trials with you.
Yep.
And actually, what I found out when I went to the USA Track and Field website, he's running in that second heat tonight. But another name I was looking at the entrance and the semifinalist popped up to me too was Liam Boylan Pett
from Bath. Yep,
is in the other semifinal tonight.
In the 1500 as well.
In the 1500 as well. Yes.
Yeah, he was a superstar at Bath, and has done very well. So, yeah, those are a couple of other local athletes trying to find a spot on the U.S. Olympic team. Of course, those Olympic trials taking place out in Oregon, and you can see those tonight. I think they're on the NBC Sports Channel at, 6 o'clock tonight?
Yeah, they're showing live from 60. I think the mix-up was that last night was also on live from 9 to 11, and when they ran the 1500 semifinals, it was earlier. So that was kind of a misunderstanding. But yeah, so I think they're running in that, like I said, that time slot that's running from 6 to 8 tonight. So.
And then if you know from the semi, I know they took, 24, made it into the semifinals, and then they'll break it down to, 8 or 12 to make it into the finals?
Yep. 12, and I looked at this too. Basically, they'll take the top five from each semifinal and then the two best times after that.
All right. Well, we'll see if either one of those two guys can get in to give us another kind of a local connection. I think we all think that Jordan Weber's kind of a lock to make the U.S. Olympic team from DeWitt, and it would be neat to see a couple of other mid-Michigan athletes find their way into the U.S. Olympic team.
Yep, I've always enjoyed the Olympics, but yeah, you're right. And having that local interest just kind of makes it a lot more interesting. So.
Absolutely. Well, Dan, I appreciate the heads up, and we will certainly look out for those two gentlemen tonight when they run. All right. We appreciate the phone call today. He mentioned Twitter, and we should let everybody know that if you do want to communicate with me at any time during the show, you can call in. Obviously, we gave you those phone numbers, but you can also do it via Twitter. We've got that open here on the computer, and you can tweet at me at JeremySampson10. Any thoughts or comments you have on what's going on in your sports world, we can take those there as well. I find that a great tool, Aaron, to kind of communicate with people who are viewers or listeners. And that's one thing that people always ask me, you know, do you like hosting radio shows? And I do, because of the interaction. You know, in TV, it's different. It's me staring into a camera with some words on the front of it. But here, you actually get to interact. And that's the one thing that I love about Twitter is the fact that you get to interact with fans or viewers or whoever. I mean, you take a guy like Chad Johnson. You know, he must be on that thing 24/7. He's got to have, you know, he's got to have the longest battery life ever on his phone, because I swear he tweets about every 5 seconds.
Yeah, I'm sure he hires someone to probably, you know, write his tweets for him maybe. But I think it kind of shows, like, I think sports talk in general, as far as radio is concerned, has increased. I mean, Earl and I have talked about it before, has increased tremendously in the last few years. And I think a huge part of it is examples like Twitter. I mean, you know, it's so much easier for someone to give their opinion or thoughts about something. You don't have to wait 45 minutes on the phone line to get in.
Right.
You know, so yeah, tools like Twitter or Facebook or, you know, other tools as well, it's so much easier now for everyone to be involved. And you're right, exactly. It's that interaction, which, you know, sports talk has always been about the interaction part. And yeah, I mean, tools like Twitter and Facebook have definitely helped for sure.
Earl's not on Twitter, though. Is that right?
WKR does have a Twitter,
yes.
But Earl himself is not on Twitter, you know.
We have to change that. See, I was able to get Tim Stout to you know, enter the Twitter sphere, and he's taken to it like a duck to water. I mean, he is on that thing, you know, nonstop, and he understands the value now of the informational part of it, but also the fact that he can, you know, interact with folks at the same time.
Yeah, I think we'll take it slow with Earl, but we'll get there. It's maybe it's on the list. Maybe after when he gets back from vacation, that way he's rested up and he can learn it then.
Well, I will have to send him a couple of text messages. He does know how to text message, right?
Yes, he does. He does know how to text. I believe he has an iPhone, so.
You're right. He does have an iPhone.
He does. So.
Now that you mention that, he does have an iPhone. We got to get him on Twitter, though. You know, that's. I think that would be a great way for fans of sports talk to be able to interact with him during the show. Again, you know, they can call in, but you know, I was hosting a radio show prior to this, and you know, during 3 hours, I must have had, you know, a dozen or so tweets. People, you know, were listening or wanted to hear certain things or ask certain questions, but like you say, maybe couldn't get in on the phone lines, and they were able to do that. Let's talk a little bit about the NBA draft for a couple of minutes. The Detroit Pistons used the number 9 selection on Andre Drummond, the 7-footer out of the University of Connecticut. And, you know, in tandem, you would think that, you know, the Pistons would be able to use Andre Drummond and, you know, put him with Greg Monroe and have a pretty formidable inside unit. You know, Brandon Knight was another young guy that they got last year. And, you know, as much struggles as the franchise has gone through. Those are a couple of, you know, three young guys there. You know, Monroe, I think, is like 22, but the others are you know, 18. Andre's 18, Brandon's 20. So, you know, there's a nucleus there of three young guys that you can kind of start to build your team around. Now, it's, again, the transition for the Pistons to, you know, being the elite in the Eastern Conference is not going to take place overnight, but it's, I think, a step in the right direction for them. Now, Drummond was considered to be a top five talent, but I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that he's 7 feet tall. And we see that in the NBA draft often, that there are guys who are listed as, you know, top five picks, or it always seems like the seven-footers get a little bit more attention when it comes to the NBA draft. You could see that in Myles Leonard, who, you know, was not a stellar college player. He was a good college player at Illinois, but because he's 7 feet tall, you know, he went last night 11th in the NBA draft. So it's, at times, I think the NBA overvalues that height mark. I mean, you get to 7 feet, and you know, you might as well let the dollar signs roll in, because there's a good chance that you're going to get taken highly in the draft. And that's a little bit of the fear, you know, with Drummond, that you know, he could have maybe stayed one more year and had a little bit more seasoning. So he's not, again, he's a piece of the puzzle, but he's a work in progress. He's not somebody who's going to come into the league and dominate and put up a lot of double doubles. Offensively, his game needs a lot of help. You know, he will be a very good passer out of the post. He'll be able to do do some things defensively to help the Pistons as well. But he's going to have to work on that offensive game a little bit. The Pistons, you know, still need help in several different areas. You know, they made the Ben Gordon move earlier in the week, and that freed up, obviously, some money for them, and that will help them, you know, I think, down the road when you look at not only this this upcoming year, but 2 years down the line when they're able to free up a little bit more cap space and go after some other free agents, and that will allow them to do that. But when you look at the rest of their second round, Detroit went with Chris Middleton with the 39th pick. He's out of Texas A&M. And then they came back at the 44th pick, and they took guard Kim English out of Missouri. Now, the name here, Aaron, that stuck out to me was Deron Lamb, the guard from Kentucky, who can score the basketball. And we've seen him do that at the high school level. We saw him do that at the college level. I think he led, what, Kentucky in scoring in the national championship game, and was so solid in the Final Four. And he was available, obviously, for Detroit to take at that 39th selection, and they decided to go with Middleton. I think that they could have gotten Lamb at 39 and then gone and taken Middleton at 44 if that's who they really wanted. But it ended up, the Milwaukee Bucks ended up taking Lamb with the 42nd selection. And then here's what could come back and bite you, because you're playing in the same division with Milwaukee. If Lamb turns out to be a steal in the second round, here's a guy now that you've passed on. And again, I think the Pistons need somebody who can score the basketball. And I think Lamb would have given them that that scoring punch off the bench. And but the Pistons decided to pass on him. Now, Kim English was an interesting selection. Number 44, again, out of Missouri, a bigger guard, but somebody who can play the wing, somebody who can get to the rim, and I think a little bit out of the mold of Tayshaun Prince a little bit when you look at English's game, maybe with a little bit better outside shot. He did shoot it pretty well from the outside. So those are the Pistons' three draft picks. There were some trades yesterday as well, but none involving the Pistons during the draft. at least yesterday. 355-9527 is that telephone number. That's 355-WKAR if you want to get involved in today's program. Or you can reach us toll-free at 877-952-7870. That's 877-WKAR-870. The Tigers continue their series tonight with the Tampa Bay Rays in Tampa Bay. Tremendous pitching matchup this evening. Justin Verlander taking on David Price, two of the better pitchers in the American League. The Tigers got a 5-2 win last night to open up that series. They still sit four games back of the Chicago White Sox. Detroit 37-39. As we approach the halfway mark of the season, and a team that continues to, I think, befuddle a lot of fans in just their inconsistency. The fact that they just cannot seem to put together a string of, five or six wins together, and especially now kind of get over that 500 mark. They obviously started off the season very well, but after that, things took a little bit of a nosedive, and they've been fighting since then to get back to that 500 mark, and at this point, they have been unable to do so. So we'll kind of keep an eye on them, and when it comes to the Tigers, I think they are, who they are. They've, really struggled to get things going offensively at times. Their pitching has been, inconsistent at best. When you take a look at the starting rotation, into the bullpen, they've been besieged with many injuries this year, and it's been pretty much an uphill climb for the Tigers ever since that opening weekend, where they really got off to a good start. Another thing that we're keeping our eyes on this weekend is the United States Olympic gymnastics trials. They got going for the men yesterday in San Jose, California. Today, the women will get going, and you can see all the coverage of the U.S. Olympic gymnastics trials on WILX TV coming up tonight at 9 o'clock. That will go right till your late local news at 11. DeWitt's Jordan Weaver will perform this evening. Now, the way this works in the trials, and it's different than most other sports, but there's a five-person team for Olympic gymnastics. And what happens is you have these trials. Well, first of all, there are 15 female gymnasts who got invited to the trials. So only one-third will make the team. Now, of the 15 who are there, they will all compete tonight, and they will compete again on Sunday. The individual with the highest individual score, is automatically on the team. And then there is a committee led by the Carolis, who will then select the other four members of that Olympic team. So it's a little strange in how they do it, in that it's not just the top five scorers, it's the top one score. And then after that, you're looking at this committee selecting the other four people. Now, Lauren Evans from WILX TV, she's been out in San Jose, and she's been covering this for the past couple of days. She talked to Tim Daggett, who is an analyst for NBC, and he was a member of the 1984 Olympic team that won the gold. And he said, look, the only way Jordan Weaver does not make this team is if she gets injured. And I think that's pretty much how people are looking at it. She and Gabby Douglas will probably finish 1-2 in the individual competition, depending on how things shake out. Even if Douglas is able to beat Jordan, I don't see any reason why DeWitt's Jordan Weaver would not be on the Olympic team. All right, time for us to take another quick break here on AM 870 WKAR, and we invite you to stay tuned for more sports talk right after this short break, right here on WKAR AM 870.
What if your GPS could predict traffic jams before they began and redirect you to empty streets? It's coming soon to your smartphone. I'm Ira Flatto. Join me on Science Friday as student inventors talk about the gadgets of the future, plus the science of Spider-Man. That's all on Science Friday from NPR.
All right, that's Talk of the Nation coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
This is Scott Pohl. Good afternoon. Mostly sunny today with a chance of rain and thunderstorms and a high in the mid-90s. A chance of showers and thunderstorms with a low of 72 tonight. Friday, the high 92, mostly sunny tomorrow. Saturday, mostly sunny with a chance of rain and thunderstorms and a high of 91.
And welcome back to Sports Talk here on AM 870 WKAR. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX-TV, filling in today for Earl Robinson. We want to go back out to our guest line this afternoon and welcome in the weekend sports anchor at ABC 12 up in Flint, Ryan Slocum. Hi, Ryan. How are you?
What's happening, Jeremy?
Not much. Good to talk to you. I appreciate you taking a couple of minutes today. We want to kind of get your insight from kind of inside Draymond Green draft headquarters last night, kind of what the atmosphere was like, especially as things got, you know, late in that first round, you know, around pick 26, where Indiana was up there, that Draymond thought right. He might be able to get selected.
Yeah, you know, it was a great night the entire night. They had a nice, we were at the Dow Event Center where, it's about a 5,000-seat arena, and they also have a theater, and they have a little conference center. And we were in the conference center, and it was just an exciting night. Everything was all decorated nice. They had green and white lighting all over the place. And, you know, just everybody really excited. And once the draft got going, Draymond and his immediate family, and then Coach Izzo walked in, a couple of former players, Mateen Cleaves walked in, a couple of other guys, all went back with him into another room. So, you know, we were all kind of excited. He came back out at about pick 15 or so. He came back out and started walking around, kind of saying hi to everybody that was in there. And, you know, everybody was still upbeat. But, yeah, you're right. Right around 20, that's when everybody really started paying attention. You know, you could see the energy of the room just completely change focus. You know, everybody was now focused on that TV every single time that clock got down. And right around that 25, 26 mark, when his name didn't get called, you'd hear the, okay, next up. Okay, who's up next? Who's up next? Oh, Miami, this is even better. Miami, we're going to Miami. You know, and it kept going, you know, and then by 30, you know, that's the guaranteed money, you know.
Yep.
You've got to be a first-round pick, let alone saying you can be a first-round pick, the guaranteed money. And there was real disappointment on that one. And we thought Chicago, we actually thought he was going to go to Chicago because he was in that, he went back into that separate room. And we heard a loud noise. All the rest of his family and other close friends, Lou Dawkins, Julian Taylor, the coaches of Saginaw High, a couple other Michigan State guys were there, Jarrell Worthy, Ben Fowler. Those guys all ran back there, and then the door shut. So we thought he got the phone call to go to Chicago, and then that was the big, you know, because everybody thought he was going to Chicago, and then it didn't happen. But so then we sat there through the first couple picks of the second round, and he finally got taken. And you'd never know any disappointment. You know, it was just like he was the number one pick. He came out. He got the call. He came out right before they announced it. And everybody just, the room lit up, and, you know, he started hugging everybody. And it was great, man. You'd never know that he was disappointed at all, if he even was, because you couldn't tell. And he got to the front, and he talked for a little bit, and his family and Coach Izzo talked. And it was great, man. It turned out great. And the Warriors were a team that he had talked to a little bit, and it's a team that he thinks he can fit right in and get some playing time and definitely bring some character. We know now their head coach has had a couple of issues here in the last couple of days. So this is a team that needs a character guy like him.
Well, did you guys ever find out what exactly the roar was on that Chicago pick and maybe why that threw you guys off a little bit?
You know what? That's a great question, and it's a question I don't have an answer to, because you know how this business goes. He got it went so late we had to get on the air right around that time. So he walked to the front. He did his little talk, you know, and we were going to talk to him right after he got picked, you know, talk to coach and talk to everybody. Well, it turned out he talked, his mom talked, Coach Lou Dawkins talked, Coach Izzo talked, his dad talked, everybody started talking, you know, his brother talked, and it went on and on and on. And then we finally got to talk to Draymond. First question, then the Warriors called him. So we had to quit talking to him, and then we had to get out and get on the air for the 11 o'clock news. So, and then we did get to talk to him again later, but, you know, everybody was so scatterbrained at that time. No, that we didn't get to find that out. I don't know if he was just getting mad back there. I have no idea.
Well, you mentioned, kind of the mood that he came out with, and, you know, there were some quotes here in the local paper, and I guess it kind of sums up his basketball career somewhat, where he said, it kind of goes along with what's happened with me, that, you know, I'm not surprised that I wasn't a first round pick. He said, just, you know, wouldn't be right for me to go. It doesn't fit along with my story. And that's the fact that people have been doubting him ever since he was at Saginaw. You know, you can't play at Kentucky, you can't play at Michigan State, you can't play in the NBA. Now he's got to go prove himself once again, but this is a guy, if anybody, who's used to that.
Yeah, and I think he feeds off it, you know, and Izzo mentioned that. That's the first time I had heard that, when Izzo got up there afterward and talked to the entire crowd, and that's exactly what he said. He said it wouldn't be Draymond if it wasn't like this, or Draymont, as he liked to call it. It wouldn't be a dream, but yeah, it's perfect. And I asked him about it again later, and he said the same thing. He's like, you know, he's just like me. We're fighters. We're scrappers. We're the guys we're not supposed to be there. And here we are. We're still there because we make sure that we do it. We have to do it. It's what we have inside of us. And I think that's exactly right. You know, this is going to fuel Draymond even more. It's going to make him work even harder. And, you know, everybody mentioned, you know, there's 34 teams that passed, or 34 picks that passed, and they all passed on me, and we're going to prove it, you know, we're going to prove it. And I think that was part of the thing that's probably the biggest thing that got him through maybe the short disappointment was, okay, it's just, here we go again. Here we go again. And Lou Dawkins, you know, we did a documentary on Saginaw High a couple of years ago, and we followed them around every single game. We were in the locker room with them and everything, every single game. And he would always say, this is just another bump in the road. And what do we do at Saginaw High? We roll over bumps. You know, he would say that all whenever they had a big game, we roll over bumps. And I think that's what's in Draymond's head. I really do. And so here he goes. He's going to do it again.
Yeah, he just sent a tweet a couple minutes ago saying, so great to be a part of the Warriors organization. Let's get this thing turned around. Let's get it Warrior Nation. So, you can kind of tell, you know, his mindset, but that's his leadership, you know, capabilities. And when you look at the Golden State roster, you say, oh, man, you know, you and I might be able to make that roster. I mean, you look at, you know, they've got Andrew Bogut and Steph Curry, Richard Jefferson, but after that, you know, there are not a lot of household names on that team, and they struggled a lot last year.
Oh, absolutely, and you're looking at those guys you just mentioned. I mean, Bogut can't stay healthy, and Jefferson has bounced around, you know, for years, and he's been known as a guy that's kind of got a little bit of an attitude, a little bit of a baby syndrome. Now, I don't know how much Draymond is going to make a 12-year vet or whatever he is now, you know, change. But there are a lot of young guys on that team. And, yeah, I mean, look at him already. He, you know, he's got his Team Easy thing he talks about, Spartan Dogs he talks about. Now he's already got Warrior Nation going. So, yeah, you hit it head on, man. If anybody can do it, this kid, his attitude bleeds. Yeah, you know, it bleeds and it wears off on everybody else, and in a good way. And we saw that, though, here, when he was a freshman, when they lost in the national championship game. Yep. And who was the kid who stood up and talked? I mean, it's a story we've all heard a million times. But, you know, and then he was the overweight kid in the corner who didn't start playing until 2 weeks ago, stands up and says, hey, we're going to be fine. We're great. Blah, blah, blah. This guy, of all people. So that's what this kid's made of, and I bet you I bet you he'll do it. You know, and if he can go through a Tom Izzo practice for 4 years, you know, you've seen him. If he can go through them, I don't think he's going to have any problem in the NBA at all.
Well, it was funny because the knock from a lot of the national analysts was, you know, well, he can do a lot of things. He just doesn't do them all. Or he doesn't do one thing great, but he can do a lot of things. And I'm thinking, why is that a negative? Because if I'm starting a team, I want a guy who's multidimensional, who can do a lot of things. He doesn't need to do one thing great if I surround him with some great talent, but give me a guy who can defend, a guy who can rebound, a guy who can score when I need him to, a guy who can pass the ball. It flabbergasted me as to why that was a knock. That's a good thing.
Well, look at the two teams that were in the NBA Finals, and in no way I think Draymond is ever going to be Kevin Durant or LeBron James or anything like that. But look at their teams. LeBron is playing four positions. He's guarding five positions. Dwayne Wade's playing a little points, playing a little two, playing a little three. The same thing with the other guys on the other side. Westbrook, Durant, Harden, they're all moving around playing multiple positions. They can all do multiple things. And that's something Draymond can do depending on the matchups. Okay, go get in there a small forward. Okay, go get in there a power forward. And one thing you can't teach kids to do, he does have that knack for rebounding. And I think above the attitude and the intangibles, I think his rebounding is what's going to keep him in the league. Because guys, like, he has a knack to find the ball, you know. I mean, he's not Charles Barkley, mound round, a rebound or anything like that. But he can get, and he's not Dennis Rodman, but he can get that ball. And I think he's going to be able to do that in the next level. And if he does, he's going to have a 10-year career.
Did he talk at all last night? And the only other thing that would concern me was is that Harrison Barnes was Golden State's pick in the first round. I think it was number seven overall. And they play what could be considered a little bit of the same position. Did he talk about that at all?
He did not at all. You know, he didn't mention any of that at all. He just said, you know, basically, with what's he going to say? It's a terrible fit, you know. He's going to say it's a perfect fit and all that. No, he didn't mention that at all. And they do have a bunch of other guys. But I think Harrison, you know, Harrison is a different type of player than Draymond.
Yep.
So, you know, I don't know. And he's obviously, he's more skilled. He's got your more classic skills, you know. He's long. He can jump. He can hit the three, you know. I mean, this kid was supposed to be first-team All-American coming out of high school, you know. But the one thing Draymond does have on him is, the knock on him is his heart. They don't know if this kid has a motor, and Draymond definitely has it. I think the kid's going to play. I really do. I think he's going to play. I mean, you know, how much, who knows. But there's definitely holes to be filled over there. And I think he can do it. I mean, I think you could see this kid play 15 minutes a night as a rookie, if not more, depending on, you know, with all the trouble they've had out there and all the problems they've had. He really could see some time.
Yeah, they need some character guys, and I think he's going to make that roster. It'll be interesting to watch him this summer and see how he kind of fits in with that summer league team. Ryan Slocum, weekend sports anchor from ABC 12, joining us for a couple of minutes. Ryan, before I let you go, I know you cover the Pistons quite a bit. What did you think of their draft last night?
Yeah, you know, we were messing with Draymond when they got the last two picks. So, and, you know, I know of these guys, but I didn't sit there and break them down to let the second round guys. Drummond obviously is huge. To have him fall, and, you know, there's questions about him too. You know, a month ago, people were saying he was the number two pick, and skill wise and, you know, upside wise, maybe he should have been the number two pick. So to see him fall, maybe that's kind of a knock on the kid, but if he falls to you at nine, you got to take him. I mean, Henson is who he is. He's a skinny guy. He's going to block some shots, but he might not do much more than that for you. Where this kid, allegedly, according to the scouts, he could be a 20-10 guy for 10 years. You know, he's got the explosion of Amari Stoudemire, and he plays defense, which Amari doesn't do. So, you know, I just hope he has guys around him. And I think Lawrence Frank will do a good job. But, you know, hopefully he has guys around him that will push him, because that seems like he just needs a little bit of motivation. And I know that I love Greg Monroe and Brandon Knight, but I don't know how much. Hopefully, they have that in them because they don't seem like they're the type of guys that are gonna like the vocal leader type. It sounds like that maybe is what this kid needs. But I know they get along. I know they all know each other and they get along. So I think that's great. And it's a position in need because Moose doesn't play much defense
right
down there. He really doesn't. He's good offensively. He needed somebody next to him. And now he's got that. And we needed size. I mean, holy cow, did they need size down there. So I think that's great. These other guys, if they make the roster, they make the roster. Kim and Middlebrook there, but you know, I like it. I really do. Now, whether they're going to make the playoffs or not is a whole nother story. But
well, I think if Andre wants to get to 20-10, he's going to need to improve on that 29.5% free throw shooting percentage he put up last year, because they're just going to hack him down low and say, "You want to score? Go ahead, buddy. Good luck."
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that was a record, wasn't it?
It should be. Yeah.
Yeah, that's brutal. He's definitely going to have to prove not on that. But you know what you keep hearing, and you don't know whether it's an excuse or not, because we don't cover UConn every day. But, you know, it sounds like that kid just kind of got lost because he left school early, and then he went to UConn, and that was just a disaster there. You know things are going wrong. You had two top 12 picks, and your team barely makes the NCAA tournament. And it's UConn, you know. It's a program that is one national title. So, yeah, it sounds like that kid was just overwhelmed there, and hopefully that's what it is, because he was one of the top high school kids in the nation. He was supposed to be, he was a top 10 pick, but he was supposed to be a top 3 pick. So hopefully he just needs to get in the right situation, get comfortable, and grow. I mean, the kid's only 18.
Right.
So, yep. You know, he's got a lot of time. Hopefully, you know, if he could turn into like, and again, this would be amazing, but an Andrew Bynum, who's barely 18 years old, and everybody scratched their heads at that pick, and now you're finally seeing that kid come around, and some people like him better than Dwight Howard. So, holy cow, if he could even come close to what Andrew Bynum is, that'd be a great pick for Dumars.
Well, Ryan, we appreciate a couple of minutes today. Great insight on what happened last night with Draymond Green, and as you and I both know, you've covered him longer than I have. But you know, a quality kid who's going to get a shot now to live out his childhood dream. But we appreciate a couple minutes, and hopefully you and I can catch up soon.
Yeah, you got it, Jimmy. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks, Ryan. Ryan Slocum, the weekend sports anchor at ABC 12 in Flint, giving us a little insight there into what things were like last night for Draymond Green during the draft process and getting selected. You know, that's always a difficult thing when you invite a bunch of people to a draft party. You know, you're hoping you're going to be a first-round guy, or, you know, you're that guy that goes to the draft and you sit in the green room and you're the last one to go. That is never an easy situation, and I'm sure there were some nervous moments with the Green family last night. But again, Draymond Green did get selected in the second round, has some work to do before he goes to make that team at Golden State. But again, as Ryan mentioned, you know, I don't think there's any doubting the want and the desire of Draymond Green to try and get that done, and I'm sure he will work as hard as he can to make that team. That's pretty much going to wrap up today's show. We want to thank Ryan Slocum from ABC 12, the weekend sports anchor, for taking a couple minutes and joining us here today to give us some insight on that. We also want to thank Michigan State men's golf coach Casey Lubon for joining us earlier in today's show to give us some insight as to what's going on with their program here over the summer months. We also want to thank, we had one caller today. So, Dan, we appreciate your phone call today as well. I'm Jeremy Sampson from WILX TV. You can watch all the Jordan Weber coverage this weekend from San Jose with our Lauren Evans. She'll have all the insights for you as well. I want to thank Earl for letting me sit in today. And Aaron, good job as always on the other side of the glass. We appreciate your hard work as well. Earl will be back with you again on Monday for more sports talk. But for now, from Michigan State University, this is AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.